This is Scott Becker, the publisher of Becker's Healthcare. I'm joined today with a fascinating person in a fascinating business, in the health IT business, Melissa Cohn at Taffy. Melissa, could you take a moment, before we get into the podcast in whole, to both introduce yourself briefly, tell us a little bit about your background, and also just take a moment and tell us how people could find you if they want to reach you after the podcast.
Sure. So I'm Melissa Cohen. I'm the co-founder and CEO of a healthcare IT startup here in Chicago called Taffy. Before co-founding Taffy, I spent a year in healthcare VC, but my career actually started in the compliance department of big pharma companies. I didn't have any formal business background prior to that. I'm actually a trained research scientist, specifically neuroscience and genetics. And I can be found very easily. I'm mel@taffy.io, so mel@taffy.io. And my LinkedIn and Twitter username are both just Startup Babe. And I can very, very easily be found there as well.
Tell us a little bit about your business now and sort of a couple things people should know about your business. What are the big trends in the business you're in?
So Taffy is a digital health company. We're building a platform for the future of healthcare. And so literally, we work in the data integration space, helping connect all of the disparate data sources that house the information needed to drive better patient care. But we refer to ourselves as more of a data liberation platform because we're not just building the pipes between one silo and another. We work on making that data more usable. And a lot of people think that this problem in healthcare has already been solved because we've digitized health records with the electronic medical record, the EMR. But we're now realizing that most of our lives don't actually live in the medical record. And so when I think about trends in our business, there are two things that immediately come to mind. The first is that I believe the care delivery model of healthcare, how patients receive care, is moving away from the traditional healthcare system setting where the four walls of a hospital or doctor's office are the focal point of healthcare delivery. It's actually expanding into a patient-centric model because of things like telehealth and digital therapeutics and companies that have really expanded the definition of what it means to be a healthcare company. The other trend we've seen is that because of the magnitude of this problem, getting data around in healthcare, there have been a ton of companies focusing their efforts on building solutions that solve a small part of this problem, addressing it acutely without the context of the bigger industry need. And those solutions are working in theory. They're delivering what they promise for the most part, but we don't believe that just tying together these ad hoc fixes are going to solve the bigger problem, and we're trending towards trying to solve that bigger issue.
Thank you. And so much of healthcare moving out of the four walls of doctors' offices, hospitals, and so forth. And as you said, so many different participants trying to touch on and plan how this data moves and what's happening with IT. How does a company then differentiate themselves from all the other participants? How do you sort of make a space for yourself?
That's a great question, and I think it's one that we try to answer every day as we work on our product offering and how we're going to differentiate from our competitors. And what we've taken as our approach is not trying to be yet another point solution, you know, again, bridging kind of this data in and data out problem, but really creating an ecosystem of benefits for all of these stakeholders in healthcare, from the larger payer organizations down to the individual patient.
In who are your customers? Who are the customers so far of your company, and who do you want them to be?
So our customers so far are the innovative vendors that have been coming up with solutions that can really impact the delivery of care. So these companies can be anything from a device company to a precision medicine company in oncology, to a patient engagement software solution. And what Taffy has done for these organizations is help them connect into the healthcare ecosystem and improve the delivery of care. I think as we grow, as our product grows and as our customer base grows, we like to start working directly with the stakeholders that have a much broader reach, the payers, the government, the larger healthcare systems.
So, Melissa, let me ask you the question. If this year goes well, what does this year look like for the company and for you?
So for Taffy, this year, success would look like, you know, more growth in our revenue, in our team, and the reach of our product. We doubled our team earlier this year. We'd like to continue adding, you know, great players. We're working with some fantastic customers and helping them grow their reach as well. And that always reflects incredibly well on us when our customers, who are our biggest advocates, can attribute their growth to our product as well.
Are you and your founders self-funding the business, taking in outside funding? Any thoughts along those lines?
So we originally started Taffy as a bootstrap company. We generated our initial revenue from pilots that we did with a various group of institutions. And we started raising capital at the beginning of 2018. That was our first angel investment round. And at this point, Taffy is a combination of investor funded and is still generating revenue.
Congratulations. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of excitement about the future, about what you're doing?
Oh gosh, I think it's gotta be a 10 to keep doing it.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations. And so, well, so one more question. You're balancing home life, work. I understand you just had your first child. Congratulations. How do you manage all of it and stay motivated and stay driven and keep it going? It's a lot to do. You're doing a great job of it. How do you stay excited about it? And I have one more question after that.
So I think I'm lucky because I get to chase my dream in a company whose mission I really believe in, and not only that I believe in, but that I help define. I do that every day, and I think that makes being generally motivated much easier than, you know, when I was working at Big Pharma. But when it comes to the specifics of staying motivated, I actually think back a lot to when I used to compete in martial arts. So this is a sport where you literally get hit in the face, unlike the startup world, where you just feel like you're getting hit in the face every day. And there's this particular competition that stands out to me because I just completely missed up. And I ended up with an elbow to the nose and cheek and actually broke my nose. And a few weeks later, when I was back in the practice ring for the first time, I'm hearing my coach and my friends encourage me to get back into it and not worry about what happened last time. And you know, don't worry about it. You're fine. And all I could think about was I couldn't remember last time. I wasn't thinking about it. I healed and moved on and I was ready for the next match. And I think that the same level of selective amnesia kind of helped me stay motivated with the business too, because unlike the martial arts, the rough moments and days are much more frequent. But being able to move on and get back to work without feeling paralyzed by the fear and those hard moments, that's what keeps me motivated, just forgetting it and moving on. Because those moments will happen in any business of any size.
Well, that's fantastic. And here's sort of the follow-up question to that. So you're both a scientist by background, you're a martial arts person, you know, who's had her nose broken, so not sort of what you think of as a soft person, got right back into the ring with selective amnesia. How do those skills, the sort of martial arts, the being a research scientist, how do those segue into sort of being in business now and being a business person? You know, do they line up well with that? How do you sort of put those things together, or are they just part of a person?
I think that it's a surprising background to transition into business. It's something that surprises a lot of investors and other stakeholders as we talk to them and they get to know us and our background. But I think that the diverse perspective that I've been able to bring to a business, and a business specifically in a pretty outdated industry like healthcare IT, a very uncool, unsexy space, I think those perspectives and the ability to synthesize data and information about this industry from all those perspectives has actually been incredibly helpful. And in fact, generally speaking, when we hire at Taffy, while we very much look for sector-specific expertise in healthcare IT as a value add, we also very much value those that have a different perspective that they can bring to the table that's not traditional. And the example that I always think about is our COO. He had very, very little healthcare experience before joining Taffy. He was actually an Air Force pilot instructor. So other than through operations background, and although he has an MBA, he didn't really have the healthcare flavor. But his perspective has been invaluable in getting us some early stage traction.
Now, you use the phrase, and so I love that you're using people from diverse backgrounds, different thinking, roughly all towards a core mission. You use the phrase to describe healthcare IT as uncool and unhip. And, you know, I think of myself as cool and hip, but I'm in healthcare IT. How do you square that, Mel?
So I think that while there are some individuals that are really trying to move and shake this industry, and those individuals can be considered cool and hip like you, I think that for the most part, we're up against titans that really established themselves within the infrastructure that created the infrastructure of the healthcare IT industry, these EMR companies that started in the 90s and really boomed in the early to mid 2000s. I think those are the ones who created the fabric, the underlying fabric of healthcare IT, and coming against those, you know, those titans of this industry, I think is where I'm alluding to the less hip thinking.
And I'm just kidding, of course, but I love the concept of really looking at, you've got these industry giants, and whether you call them cool or hip or not hip, or whatever they are, what you're looking at is a much more flexible approach, a much more evolving and flexible approach, fast moving, taking fingers outside of healthcare, mixing various disciplines and trying to get there. I mean, that's what I take out of that. So thank you so much for clarifying, and I don't feel as bad about myself now. So thank you.